my soul, praise the Lord, and all that is within me, praise his holy name. My soul, praise the Lord, and do not forget all his benefits. This is how David starts Psalm 103. And his intention was that, as the singer would sing it, this would be our prayer, that we would want our entire being to praise God, who is holy and who gives us so many benefits. And one of the ways that we can bring our hearts and our entire beings to do this is to remember God's benefits and character. So David jumps into a list, and more or less what we're going to be doing together is looking through this list and David's explanation of remembering everything that God has done for us. He forgives all your sin. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with faithful love and compassion. He satisfies you with goodness. Your youth is renewed like the eagle. We're going to look more at God forgiving all our sin in just a moment, but it's always such a refreshing reminder. We see that he heals all our diseases, and we remember that ultimately every recovery that we experience is God's grace, authority, and purpose that restores us to health for this life on earth, to live in the purpose that God has called us to. He redeems your life from the pit. This is primarily talking about him sustaining physical life, but we know now that he also redeems us from the second death. And so we as Christians have this even greater joy knowing that God keeps us alive now, but he also has saved us from the second death in hell. He crowns you with faithful love and compassion. We're going to compare this later on where we see God establishing his throne and his rule, and we see how just weak and temporary us as human beings are. But here in verse 4, we get this where God crowns people with faithful love and compassion. Greater than any gift that we could have here on earth, God gives us his very own love and compassion. He satisfies us with goodness. Every good thing we have is from him. And your youth is renewed like the eagle, that he would sustain us day by day. And just quickly to look at how these relate to where we're at in lockdown, the guilt and sin that you experience, he's forgiven that. Your sickness or your fear of corona, he's the healer. Your worries over safety or your doubt about your eternal security, he redeems you in that. Your loneliness, depression, or feelings of purposelessness, he has crowned you with faithful love and compassion. Your boredom or discontentment, he satisfies you with goodness. And your tiredness, your being worn out, he renews your youth like the eagle. And then in verse 6, the Lord executes acts of righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. Every good and morally right thing that God does, both his present and future judgment of both good and evil, as we see the law of what you sow you will reap come into play on earth, but even more so knowing that ultimately all evil will be judged either at the cross of Christ or at the throne of judgment in the end. He revealed his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel, where God gave them both his law, but also his love, his miracles, showing them who he is so that they could worship him in his righteousness and his holiness. And then in verse 8, David quotes from Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7, where God is revealing who he is to Moses. He says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and rich in faithful love." And these are two concepts that are actually going to get fleshed out in just a moment in this psalm, God's compassion and God's faithful love. But here's how they start to work out. He will not always accuse us or be angry forever. He has not dealt with us as our sins deserve, or repaid us according to our offenses. So we saw a moment ago how God is righteous and he is just, but here he has dealt with us instead in mercy. We also have two other lessons here. First, that God does get angry at sin, and he does hold us accountable for it. But secondly, that as a compassionate father, he doesn't keep bringing it up. He has dealt with it at the cross, and he will continue to deal with it in our lives through discipline to shape us into his image. But he's not going to hold it against us forever. In fact, he has withheld his wrath from us in Christ, forgiving us. All that remains in our life is his loving discipline. At this point, we have the first switch where he goes from listing what God has done for us to explaining God's faithful love and compassion. Verse 11, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his faithful love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows what we are made of, remembering that we are dust." That first line, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth," he's moving in with that four to explain what this faithful love looks like to those who fear him. And it's going to look like forgiveness. But also, as we read that line, "as high as the heavens are above the earth," perhaps your mind springs to Isaiah, where he speaks of God's ways being higher than our ways and his thoughts high above our thoughts. And this is often a verse that we talk of when we try to understand that we're not going to understand God's sovereignty and everything he does the way that he does. But this is a good verse for us to keep in mind, because it's not just God's wisdom and God's power that is so far beyond us, but it's also God's love that is at that level. We need to remember that God's love for those who are faithful to him is immeasurable. Another interesting thing we see here is that those who fear him in verse 11 are those whose sin is removed in verse 12. Those who fear God, it's talking about us. And it's not that we are sinless. We know that we need our sin removed. But it is that we would keep walking with him, keep fearing him. And we'll see in a moment that it looks like keeping his covenant, and we'll just remember what that covenant is. And then he switches from speaking about God's faithful love and forgiveness and removing sin to the Lord's compassion, like a father on his children. And we see in verse 14, we switch back to the reason why God has compassion. It's that man has such a passing, temporary nature, and God and his relationship to man are eternal. "For he knows what we are made of, remembering that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He blooms like a flower of the field. When the wind passes over it, it vanishes, and its place is no longer known." Humanity and every individual is temporary and insignificant. We see this as we look at history. Most of us could not remember our great-grandparents' grandparents' names. We too one day will become insignificant to those after us. But from eternity to eternity, we have a key switch here. The Lord's faithful love is toward those who fear him, and his righteousness toward the grandchildren of those who keep his covenant, who remember to observe his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. While we are temporary and insignificant, God's love, his faithful love, lasts forever. And his righteousness is displayed in this showing of his love to the grandchildren, even, of those who keep his covenant and observe his precepts. Now, who is this talking about? Well, in David's time, he would be referring to those who kept his covenant, that old covenant of obedience to the theocratic law given to Moses, a special way for them to relate to God. But if this is God's attitude toward those who followed that old covenant, which was ratified by the blood of bulls and goats, how much more will this be true? And will he show his faithful love and righteousness to those who have entered into the new covenant with him, which is established by the blood of his son, and who are those who are obedient to the faith? And so we see that this is referring to those of us who would walk with God, more especially those who would walk trusting him, trusting specifically in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then we're going to see God's sovereignty as another one of those things that we should remember about God for our soul to praise him. And this is interesting. So far, the Psalms talked about what God has done for humanity. Why now mention his sovereignty, his establishment of his own kingdom over everything? And I think a quick answer to this would be that his goodness helps establish his praiseworthy throne in our eyes. But secondly, that his rule and his sovereignty are good for those who fear him. So all of God's goodness ultimately glorifies himself, but God's glory in turn is good for his creation. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. And so we see David in the psalm calling for praise from everything that is in God's kingdom, everything that he is sovereign and authoritative over. Praise the Lord, all his angels of great strength who do his word, obedient to his command. Praise the Lord, all his armies, his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, and all the places where he rules. My soul, praise the Lord. And so I would invite you to praise the Lord with me as we remember his forgiveness, his healing, his redemption, his crowning us with faithful love and compassion, his satisfying us with goodness, his restoring and renewing our youth, his righteousness, his justice, his revelation of himself and his works, his slowness to anger, his grace, his choosing to not deal with us as our sins deserve, but instead showing us incredible faithful love. To remember our temporary nature, but God's eternity and his eternal love for us, and finding our identity and our joy in that relationship that he has given us. That we would remember his absolute authority and know that he is worthy of the praise of all creation, and he is especially worthy of our praise. Thank you.